Chapter 1. The thrill is gone? Believe nothing because a wise man said it. Believe nothing because it is generally held. Believe nothing because it is written. Believe nothing because it is said to be divine. Believe nothing because someone else believes it. Believe only what you yourself judge to be true. Buddha, 6th century B.C. Is the thrill gone? Has sex on Saturday night become a thing of the past? Most relationships start out with that intense vroom, vroom. Sexual desire is revved up like one would rev up a motorcycle. Sadly, many relationships lose that energy and settle into what some would call the humdrum of life. Couples often left scratching their heads, wondering what went wrong, blaming themselves or their partners for what they perceive is falling out of love. Love is love, regardless of your partnership, straight, same sex, married, living together, or any other form of commitment you may be in. We are all subject to these issues. According to the National Center for Health Statistics, marriage rates per 1,000 population fell from a high of 10.9 inches. Is that inches?
In.
From a high of 10.9 in 1972 to a low of 6.5 in 2017. It has become far more acceptable to just be in a healthy, loving, committed relationship without taking marriage vows. Commitment alone, regardless of its experience, is not a guarantee of a happy, healthy relationship. Interestingly, we humans are hardwired for relationships, no matter what the legal or social expectations, no matter the gender pairing. It is fundamental to the propagation of the species. We thrive on love. At least what we perceive to be love. We tend to enter a relationship because of love, only to find out that the endorphins wane and we feel empty. So what causes us to lose the thrill? There are a variety of reasons why relationships lose vitality. Each partner contributes, yet it is a rare couple whose emotional and spiritual health can bring harmony and in turn vitality to the relationship. Not impossible, but rare. We do an emotional dance with our partner. He did this, so I did that. She said this, so I said that. Cha-cha-cha. Our perceptions and our reactions most often stem from our own deep thoughts or childhood wounds. To best understand your relationship and restore its vitality, it is best to first understand yourself, including all your distinct parts, thoughts, feelings, and behavior. We will start with the basics. The sexual self. We are comprised of selves, that is, aspects or energies that each represent a component of who we are. These are the fundamental components from which our basic thoughts, feelings, intent, desires, and behavior derive. While we have a number of selves, the sexual self plays a key role in the vitality in relationships. No surprise there. While sex is an important part of our lives, our sexual self is about much more than just the physical act of sex. We live in a society that has narrowed the view of our sexual self to a penis or vagina. Our emphasis has been on its gender and the physical act of sex rather than on exploring its vast potential and role as a creator in our life. Our obsession with the physical act of sex has made one's prowess in the bedroom a measure of self-esteem. Men count their conquests. Women must look sexy. Sex as a measure of worth stems from our fears of inadequacy. It may surprise you to know that the act of physical sex is a minute fraction of the powerful and creative abilities of our sexual self. The limited understanding of our sexuality and how to express it effectively has devastated many of us with an accumulation of mixed feelings, including inadequacy, helplessness, and unworthiness, and also fear, constantly stirring thoughts of inferiority about sexuality and the role it plays in understanding and defining the fullness of who we are. Dealing with issues of control, power, and insecurities about our sexuality causes confusion about our sexuality and our ability to express effectively in other areas of our life. It has caused even greater problems with our interaction with life partners. Often in relationships, our confused self becomes involved with the confused self of another. In these situations, we lose sight of our boundaries. We muddle the truths about self. Our young hearts set grand expectations about relationships, resulting in disappointing experiences. So without a higher awareness, there is no recourse for our broken dreams except to blame ourselves or others. Blame does nothing to solve the confusion and feelings of helplessness that occur, especially when there are issues of betrayal or misuse of power in a loving relationship with another. Can't do that. Okay, this is a pickup, okay. Often our negative inward feelings harden our facade of protection and numbs our sensitivity to the very spirit of our sexual self. The primal force of our greatest creative power. Even worse, we cannot figure out what to do about it. It is time to develop a new and intimate relationship with our sexual self, a relationship that fuels our creative endeavors, lights up our life with meaning and joy, and in so doing, revive our loving relationships. Thinking about and using the power of our sexual self is such a new, enlightening, and fascinating way. Enables us to fuel our greatest creative endeavors, forever enriching our life and restoring confidence and faith in ourself. So the term sex on Saturday night not only describes revitalizing one's relationship with one's partner, but it also describes the birth of an emerging creativity, powered by the sexual self and fueled by an unending source of inspiration, creative endeavors that enrich our lives and the lives of others. A healthy sexual self is the basis of a spiritually inspired lifestyle, with a promise of love fulfilled and structured to perpetuate greater self-knowledge, understanding, and the inspired thoughts and desire to fuel our creative endeavors. Through our sexual self, we may tap into our natural ability to create loving relationships and embark on creative endeavors that manifest a life filled with love, abundance, and joy. The healthy sexual self both seeds and nourishes that which is to become. The outer layer of the sexual self is the only part that is dependent on another individual to procreate. The physical form of our sexual self, the non-physical aspect of our sexual selves, are dependent upon our internal polar opposites, our male and female energies, and our awareness of their united purpose and the value of their cooperative power to create. Our male and female polarities. Each of us no matter our physical gender, contains both male and female energy. In fact, this is true of all things. Both ancient philosophies like the Hermetic philosophy described in the Kabbalah and modern science recognize that all things contain both masculine and feminine principles. Our masculine energy is outgoing, doing, oriented, expansive. It is the seeding factor, the directing force, the impetus that sends forth the seed of creative endeavor, that which is to be received. Our male aspect is the sperm of our thought, seeking to unite with the feminine aspect, or ovum, of our feelings, which nourishes our seed of thought. Our female energy is inward, inclusive, and creative. From its embryonic state to its perfect time of fruition, the female energy gives birth to the creative endeavors of our choice, then lovingly gives it back to the male aspect of our sexual self to successfully market and direct our creative endeavor into the world of form. In science, the masculine energy is the positive, and the feminine female is the negative. This is not to be confused with good and bad. The male positive and the female negative energy are simply the expression of the energetic movement of vibration. The male energy moving away from a central point and the female energy returning to a central point. This is vibration. Ancient wisdom has long maintained what science is now discovering. All things, including we human beings, are vibration. In other words, we are energy. Our sexual self, as well as ourselves, is influenced by where we are on our male-female polarity spectrum. If we are more in our male energy, we behave in more of a thinking and doing way, direct, goal-oriented, with little feeling. If we are in our female energy, we behave in a more nurturing and feeling way, flowing in creativity. If we are acting in male energy and our partner in male energy, collisions are likely to occur. Knowing the characteristics of male energy and female energy will help us understand our partner's behavior and more carefully choose our behavior in response. The ideal place to be on the male-female polarity spectrum is right in the middle, in that place where our male and female energies are balanced. You might say this is a state of androgynous energy, where both polarities, male and female, merge in a state of oneness to birth creative endeavors that benefit self and others. From this state, our sexual self is a creator, a self-contained aspect of us that births reality through experience. The concept of God, oneness, or creator, maintains that everything is contained within the one, and everything that is created flows from the one. In that same way, we are created in the image of God, one, creator in that we have within us the integral components of oneness, wholeness, and the ability to create. Everything that is created in one life flows from within, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. In other words, we are gods, birthing experiences for our own self-realization. And until we understand our sexual self's role as creator, we birth hellish experiences as haphazardly as we birth experiences of joy. Fear of our sexual self, of our male and female energy, blocks our desire to create and freezes us in patterns of dull repetition rather than in patterns of successful creative endeavors. This includes our sexual life. Fear bursts feelings of resignation and falsely turns joy into a sense of duty. The primal force of love within our sexual self is our greatest source to fuel our creative endeavors. Alchemists at heart, we all create our daily lives, and through our many experiences, eventually gain wisdom. Unfortunately, Many of our creative endeavors fail to fulfill our hopes and desires because of our narrow vision and unwillingness to move beyond our self-imposed restrictions. Our attempts to successfully create our hopes and dreams fall short of our expectations. We know that it takes two, a male and a female, to produce a baby. However, most of us do not know that it also takes both our male and a female to fuel our greatest creative endeavors in all ourselves, which we will learn about in the next chapter, including the sexual self. Once understood, fueling creative endeavors becomes a joy rather than a disappointment. Understanding the potentials of our sexual self is exciting. Fear of our sexual self is replaced with understanding its full and unlimited potential to fuel all our creative endeavors. Just imagine a never-ending creative flow of ideas taking form to benefit you and others. Fear is always our greatest enemy. Inspiration is always our greatest friend. A common mistake in relationships. In marriage counseling, therapists often hear the same complaints. While the roles can sometimes be reversed, typically the wife complains that she feels used. When he wants sex, she is expected to be immediately ready, whether she feels like it or not. The husband complains that his wife never wants to have sex. In truth, our female energy within us, whether we're physically male or female, needs to feel love and affection to arouse any desire. A clumsy hand on the breast and the statement, "Let's do it," rarely arouses desire. In this situation, the wife is completely turned off and her husband becomes confused. So many couples have stopped enjoying sensual sexual relations because they do not know what is wrong. Both feel abused and used. Men, particularly younger men, can think about sex and get an erection without any physical arousal activities. They can think it and do it. Action, the male energy within us all, whether we are physically a man or woman, thinks in this manner. As we noted earlier, our male energy is the source of our ability to direct and act. Some females have yet to develop their male energy. Others exclusively express it and have shut down their female energy, their aspect of feeling. On the other hand, some males have never developed their feminine nature. They're afraid of sensitivity, affection, and intimacy. Other males are afraid of their male energy and have difficulty moving past their emotional fears of rejection to pursue intimacy. So as understanding of our male and female energies is most important to a healthy sex life. An understanding of one's own male and female energy is necessary to effectively communicate one's desires. The typical male partner in his male energy feels aroused just by holding, being close to his partner. His male energy is ready to move fast, be directive. He immediately acts upon those feelings, which comes out as, "Let's do it." He has not learned how to relax and enjoy the female part of himself that enjoys cuddling and fondling without necessarily the physical act that include that of sex. The typical female partner is aroused by loving, affectionate feelings, by feeling safe and valued and loved. Female energy and true arousal will never come out if it feels trapped or overpowered by physical energy. Intimacy is important. Cuddling, teasing, taking one's time, allowing the love to flow between hearts. All these activities are a sure bet for full arousal and enjoyable sex. It is vital that we begin to open our awareness to our multidimensional selves. There are so many benefits in practical ways of enriching one's lives. We can explore our male and female natures with our partners, if we are aware. We can discover new ways of fulfilling ourselves and our partners. All healing begins with self-knowledge. We must choose love, peace, and joy to be in ultimate control of our lives. We must know ourselves and gain the confidence to pursue those things in a healthy way. The happiest relationships are those where both partners are aware of all aspects of self. Neither partner is needy. Neither partner is dependent on the other. There is no competition, only the fullness of self and an appreciation for the fullness of one's partner. One lifts the other, supports the other, and feels connected, even when they are not physically together. Similarly, they can have alone time, even when they are physically together. There is space and togetherness in their love. There is oneness in their togetherness. With a strong sense of self, neither gets lost in the shadow of the other. They are partners because they choose to be partners, not for convenience, financial considerations, or duty. They measure the loving feelings that flow between them. They do not compromise these feelings for the sake of being right. They are considerate, thoughtful, and sensitive to each other's feelings. They care. They know their relationship is precious. Each are more powerful because of the love that flows between them. We cannot expect to have something we are not able to give. Finding the perfect man or woman is impossible until we are perfect. Ironically, we do not need perfection. Rather, we need the consistent, heart-based living that attracts a partner with whom we can create a deep, loving connection. Deep, loving connections transcend the need for perfection, recognizing and valuing the unique qualities of our partner. Abandoning the feminine. It is common in today's world to forfeit our feminine energy. Here is the story of Brenda, whose fear kept her stuck in her male energy, preventing her from fully engaging her sexual self to fuel her most treasured creative endeavors. Brenda was by all social measures an intelligent and successful person. Despite her outward success in life, she held deeply repressed feelings of being unworthy and physically unattractive. These feelings stemmed from her childhood. As an adult, Brenda consciously thought that she must use seduction, and sex to obtain a relationship. So she embarked on a series of intimate relationships that all resulted in disaster, leaving her in tears and adding a sense of failure to her feelings of unworthiness. Although she was not aware of this, Brenda saw that seduction did not get her what she wanted. She became afraid of her feminine aspect of her sexual self. As a result, Brenda made an unconscious decision to deny and desensitize her feelings for love because she believed she could no longer trust them. Brenda began to rely solely on the male aspect of her sexual self to direct her life. She did everything herself, relied on no one, never asked for help. Her caring, loving, nurturing nature became so suppressed that she never exposed it during any activity of her life. Brenda wanted no one to interfere with her life. She isolated herself to such a degree she became cold and distant to old friends, was polite to her coworkers. She no longer engaged in any type of romantic friendships. Brenda became like a turtle, withdrawn into her shell. We're with Brenda.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I can see better if I get up for there. I can see much better now. All right. Brenda pushed herself to achieve with such force that her male aspect was exhausted. Her feminine aspect was not allowed to nurture her male, for it had been forever banned from participating in her life. She believed that her feminine energy could not be trusted. As you might imagine, Brenda's life did not improve. While Brenda was particularly good at maintaining what she considered her duties, work and social upkeep, paying the bills and so on, the quality of her life continued to be cold, dull, and unfulfilling. There was a time when Brenda had many creative ideas. However, with her feminine energy so deeply repressed, creativity came to a halt. She was bored at work, at home, and with herself. Television, take out dinners, thumbing through social media became her friends. This lifestyle continued for quite a while. In this male energy, Brenda adapted an arrogant attitude to hide the emotional pain that she was feeling. Her attempts to feel better about herself and improve the quality of her life instead of helping, set her on a downward spiral. First, Brenda decided that her happiness was dependent on finding a partner to help her in life. She was tired of coming home to an empty house, going to dinner or the movies by herself. How could she find a suitable partner when her only social interaction was at work? She did not understand why the males at her workplace ignored her. They were polite but distant when engaging in conversations with her. Brenda could not understand why they avoided her, especially since she had no romantic interest in any of them. Brenda was unaware that energy never lies. She was unaware of just how withdrawn and bitter she had become. She looked in the mirror each morning but failed to see the distant look in her eyes or wrinkles in her frown, created from the many disappointments in her life. Operating solely from her male energy, Brenda was tough and could manage being ignored. She further resolved that she did not need the approval of friends. Yes, Brenda was convinced that she needed a partner in her life. She was losing confidence in her ability to sustain her job, and she was bored with being by herself. Her creativity had dried up, and Brenda hated the prune she saw when looking in the mirror. Tired of doing everything herself, she thought it was time for a mate, a male, to take care of her. But Prince Charming never showed up. She was at a loss about finding a mate. At the height of her unhappiness, she cried and pleaded with God to help her get her life back. She did not want to die alone, nor did she want to have a breakdown and let loose all that repressed unhappiness. That night, Brenda even briefly thought of taking her own life, but became angry at herself when she realized she was too afraid to even do that. She did not understand how her life could have gotten to this stage of desperation. Why could she not find someone to take care of her needs emotionally and financially so she would not feel so much stress and tension? What did she do wrong? She hated herself and in desperation reached out to a distant god to help her find a life partner. The next morning, Brenda woke up with a smile on her face and a new glimmering light in her eye. She looked forward to going to work, something she had not felt in an exceptionally long time. At work, Brenda noticed that her coworkers could feel the change in her. She was convinced that something of a miracle must have happened for her to feel so good. Later that morning, her boss called her into his office, where he often offered her a promotion. You want me to do that one again? Later that morning, her boss called her into his office, where he offered her a promotion and a pay increase. Brenda was speechless. Her boss expressed his confidence in her ability to tackle her new responsibilities with ease. She was to assist the company's new attorney. Brenda was thrilled, with this promotion and even more thrilled when her boss introduced her to Mark, the lawyer she would be assisting. Her eyes lit up the moment she saw him. Oh my God, she thought, he is the most beautiful man I have ever seen. She could not believe these wonderful changes in her life. As an attorney, Mark had an impressive profile of successful acquisitions. However, Brenda did not care about that. She was more impressed with his gentle yet confident manner and the caring qualities she saw in his eyes. Mark showed Brenda her new office and indicated that they would be undoubtedly spending a lot of time together. She was thrilled and wondered how God could help her change her life that fast. She was so grateful and full of wonder. She was beaming with light and could not wait to begin her new position. In the days ahead, Brenda marveled at her good fortune. She just knew that God had presented her with a way to release her loneliness and boredom and unhappiness. Her boss was always on her mind. He was so good-looking and sexy, the perfect candidate for a life partner. Slow down, she thought. You don't even know him yet. She concentrated on her work. Rather, she tried to concentrate on her work, but Mark was so handsome and sexy. Mark was highly intelligent, hard-hitting, powerful in his demeanor with a sense of self-confidence and importance that confirmed itself each time he mediated an acquisition. Brenda could not help herself. She directed her thoughts toward getting her man, and she got him. Brenda and Mark married. She had married her goal, having a partner to share in the responsibilities of life. However, after the initial high of their sexual experiences, Brenda did not feel the joy, fulfillment, and satisfaction she expected to. Nothing changed. Brenda continued to drive herself to the point of stress and physical breakdown. Mark continued to direct his thoughts solely toward acquisition. Both were functioning solely from their male aspects. What Brenda thought was the solution brought momentary excitement, but was not the long-term solution to her happiness. Soon, Brenda felt more isolated than ever. She observed Mark's less pleasant characteristics and habits, the condescending way he treated others, how he bent the rules to suit himself, how he manipulated discussions to his advantage, and how easily he could break trust because the end justified the means. Their sex life was non-existent, at best lifeless and boring. Brenda concluded that Mark's love could not be trusted. She examined their intimate time together and realized that he shares nothing of himself, shows no sense of genuinely caring, never talks about his feeling. Brenda wondered if Mark ever knew what love is. As her situation began to dawn on her, she thought, I'm still alone. But now I have a pompous ass telling me where to go, how to think, and what to do to be more successful. As you might expect, Brenda became resolved that all men are worthless, self-centered assholes. Once again, she returned to feeling nothing. Once again, her bitterness resurfaced, but she now directed that bitterness toward Mark, as she promised herself that if he crosses her one more time, she'll take him to the cleaners. Unhappy, she chose to stay in the relationship for convenience and appearances. Her male aspect was at its height, defenses up, always on guard, poised to win every argument. Does this sound familiar? In this example, Brenda created an experience that was doomed to fail because she was functioning solely from her male energy without an understanding of her female aspect and importance in her life. She had denied her female aspect's participation in the creation of her experience with Mark because she did not trust or value the female aspect of her sexual self. So instead of creating a sense of happiness, Brenda energized her long repressed belief that she cannot trust love. Brenda's thoughts and beliefs from her life experience give her a very narrow view of life. She's not looking at the big picture. She thinks she is learning a lesson from her experience, but she's missing the whole message. Brenda must move beyond the outward appearance of events and look inward. She must go within and discover the creative abilities of her sexual self. By living and expressing from the fullness of her sexual self, including both her male and female aspects, Brenda will understand her life experiences more fully. She will be able to find creative solutions to make centered decisions that break her pattern of engaging in unfulfilling relationships and enable her to attract love, joy, and abundance. So what was happening with Brenda? In Brenda's early experiences, the shadow side of her feminine aspect was obvious. Unfortunately, she had not seen the light of her loving feminine power. Brenda was focused on the feelings of her lower desire body, persona, and its delusions and misused powers of seduction. So the shadow side of her feminine aspect created dark experiences. Experiences that caused her to mistrust nature without ever experiencing the light of her loving power. Frightened of her own dark, seductive powers and ability to create dark experiences, Brenda abandoned her feminine aspect and gave full power to her male aspect. She began expressing the light of her male energy by taking action. Because she lacked understanding of the light of her male energy, it was easy for her to slide into the shadow of her male nature, creating experiences of egoism and aggression. Cold and unfeeling, Brenda used brute force, producing, achieving, taking action, but allowing no time for relaxation and play. Key elements which are required to replenish one's vital life force. As a result, she remained intensely stressed and physically exhausted. Cold and unfeeling, Brenda used brute force, producing, achieving, taking action, but allowing no time for relaxation and play. Key elements required to replenish one's vital life force. As a result, she remained intensely stressed and physically exhausted. Misreading the messages. Without awareness of ourselves and our male and female energies, we misread our partner's verbal and nonverbal messages. In the above example, Brenda misread the lesson in this experience. As she reflected on her present situation and condition, she concluded that she did not want to experience life by herself. Still operating within her male energy, she determined that a partner would solve her problems. Once again, Brenda's male energy was jumping to solutions without considering, respecting, and valuing the feminine aspect within her. When unsuccessful, Brenda even reached out to another male to define by traditional religion, God. Brenda's male aspect wanted a partner who was self-sufficient, financially abundant, and socially powerful. The energy of that thought manifested a male partner who exhibited all the characteristics she desired. Just like Brenda, her partner was living only within his male aspect and only expressing through the shadow side of his sexual self. Like Brenda, he had not related the light of his feminine side. As a result, Brenda experienced the coldness, the cruelty, the egotism, and the aggression of his shadow male and the absence of his sensitivity, love, caring, and nurturing qualities of his feminine aspect. Brenda derived from this experience that she cannot trust men and that she is better off alone. Brenda focused outward and never ventured inward to listen to the still small voice within that gently whispers the truth about her experiences and her sexual self. If Brenda had ventured inward, she never would have abandoned her feminine aspect. She could have forgiven her temptress-like behavior and reined in her ability to get what she wants through seduction. She could have taken time to develop the light of her female aspect and enjoy nurturing the male aspect within her. She could have embraced the light of her male energy. The light of Brenda's thought, the male aspect, could have merged with the light of Brenda's feeling, the female aspect, to create experiences that would further develop and empower her sexual self. Simply stated, fear caused Brenda's denial of her female energy, which caused her shadow male to attract another shadow male. If Brenda had been in touch with her loving feelings, her intent would have been different. Her thought of having a partner would have merged with her desire to love another and be loved by another. Brenda would have manifested a healthy, balanced relationship of joy and love, stemming from her healthy and balanced sexual self. Fear can cause abandonment of the male aspect as well. Fear of one's own shadow male and the egotism, aggression, and brute force can inhibit our thought and directive ability to act. A person could be solely in the shadow or the light of female energy and experience lots of feeling, ideas, and dreams, but never bring anything to fruition. Living on the expressway of life. More people travel through life on the expressway where everyone is moving at breakneck speed. There's no time to stop and experience your feelings or why those feelings are there. Goodness, if you stop, you might get run over. You must keep up your pace, allow no one to pass. You must not trail behind. Do you feel the fear in those words? Those who live on the expressway experience constant stress, pressure, and anxiety. You must constantly keep your eyes on the road, no time to look around. When you do look around, you see signs, fields, cars, trucks, and interchanges. There is little to satisfy your sense of beauty. You might tell yourself that moving faster, staying ahead, is worth it. But is it really? What have you given up? Why are you in such a rush? Most of us are born on this broad highway. If we are lucky, we know our parents and family lineage. Whatever parents we get, we get. Many times we feel different from our parents and family. When we are young, we greatly desire our parents' love and acceptance. Many times love and acceptance are hard to attain. Sometimes parents want to change us, steer us in a direction that just does not express who we are. Sometimes, leaving no room for differences or discussion, they say they love us, but their actions say otherwise. Sometimes we can feel their love, even if they are unable to express it. Often, we mature. Our parents still see us as little children. We go to school, learn the curriculum of the day. We experience other events and activities outside our home. We see the expressway. It's easy to feel ineffective and insignificant in such a big and fast-paced world. While each childhood brings its own ups and downs, most of us grow up wishing we were different, had different hair, more clothes, a nicer body, more friends, different parents. The list goes on. Even me, I remember thinking I was the ugliest little girl alive. My arms were too big and my hair was scrawny. I did not have many friends. My best friends were all my dogs. After school, I would go out in the dog pens and play for hours. The dogs accepted me as I was and loved me unconditionally without waiver. I could trust them to do that. I could not trust people to love me. I did not feel likable or lovable. When we grow up and become what we understand to be responsible adults, we become the mothers and fathers. Many times we work at jobs we don't like because it is all we're trained to do. Unfulfilled, we become burned out and wish our lives were different. Feeling trapped, we resign ourselves to this unfulfilled life, and often we become angry about our lot in life. Many times we become involved in a relationship or a marriage that is a pure pain in the neck. There's nothing easy about it. There's either control, abuse, indifference, anger, boredom, or other negative descriptions to explain what we thought would be a live happily ever after event. Sometimes we feel like victims and quietly wonder what went wrong. We look at life as something that happens to us. Eventually, youth wanes and we begin to worry about old age. If our parents had heart problems, cancer, or other hereditary diseases, we wonder if we will suffer the same, because we've been told there is a good chance we will. Things happen one after another. It seems we live many different lifetimes in one. Some segments we can't remember at all, and then before you know it, we are at the end of our life's journey, not truly sure what happens after death. We want to believe what traditional religion purports. If we were good, we will go to heaven. Were we good enough? Sometimes it's easier to believe there is nothing after death rather than facing the scary prospect of being judged at the pearly gates. None of us particularly want to go to hell. It has not received incredibly good reviews. If we do not fear death, most of us fear how we are going to die. We do not like what old age means or brings to us. The end becomes inevitable, and we do not even know what is next or if there is a next. Our life is over before we know it. Our bodies responding to our stressful and unfulfilling lives, bleeding ulcers, diabetes, arthritis, cancer, heart attacks, Parkinson's disease, dementia, the list goes on. Our life was moving so fast, we did not even sense the early symptoms. On top of that, we fear disease on the expressway because it slows us down or stops us entirely. On the expressway, it is too easy to become the victim of life, disease, or other people. No stopping to smell the roses. No stopping to catch your breath. No stopping to find that quiet place of repose within us. We look outward for answers, for self-worth, for purpose, for power. Having no boundaries, we put up with the constant criticism and advice of others. Having no understanding of self, we put up with our own self-criticism and judgment. We cannot control the world, but we do have a right to our own space. While we cannot be responsible for maintaining love and peace in the entire world, we can be responsible for maintaining our space with love and peace, which ironically helps the entire world. We can enjoy our life and look forward to each day with enthusiasm and wonder. Rather than living on the expressway, we can choose an alternative lifestyle called the path. The path to the heart. There's an alternative to living life on the expressway. There is a way to live a rewarding and fulfilling life. Sadly, many only choose the alternative when they have broken down on the expressway, when circumstances force change, like a life-threatening illness, an ugly divorce, the death of a loved one, or old age. Such circumstances make it impossible to keep pace on the expressway, requiring that they find another route. It is those milestones that we are likely to begin our search for something more rewarding and healthier. For example, someone overcoming a serious illness might explore healing through nutrition and alternative medicine therapies. Others may explore spiritual avenues or join support groups. It is often such life events that set us on the path. That is, the path to greater understanding of self, of taking responsibility for improving the quality of life. There are many reasons that movement on the fast-paced expressway comes to a halt. When we are stopped, we can easily feel sorry for ourselves. We can lie down and just quit. We can slowly let our spirit drift far from our body until the vulture begins to circle. Or we can change our spirit, find and fuel our love, and take responsibility for the life that flows through us. We can chart a new course, a course that no longer requires the expressway. We do not have to wait for a crisis to get off the expressway. We can take responsibility for the quality of our life now. We can choose to have a healthy sexual self. We can choose an alternative lifestyle because we want love, joy, and greater abundance in our life. I've been on my path for over 50 years. I developed my self-esteem and self-worth, recognized my qualities and talents, and understood my purpose in life using the process and techniques described in this book. My greatest lesson learned from traveling my path is this: if you ask from your heart, you will always receive. On the path to the heart, one finds a creative, free-flowing lifestyle. A lifestyle that makes it possible to discover self, listen to the still, small voice within our inner space, and begin to follow one's intuitive direction. There is time, all the time in the world, to discover new aspects and potentials of self. There's more quality time to spend with loved ones and friends that you treasure. From this slower pace, one has time to acquire deep appreciation for family, life, community, and giving. On the path, there is no time to enjoy nature, which helps us feel a kinship with all life. Isolation depletes our energy and immune system, robbing us of our natural creativity and vitality. There's constant self-growth and progress, one step at a time. There is time to evaluate and appreciate the progress one step at a time. There's time to evaluate. There's time to be aware of our qualities, strengths, and refine the areas we choose to improve. The path provides space for taking care of self and sorting out the why of difficult situations so that we do not repeat negative experiences. As I discovered self, I faced the world with a healthy sexual self. In that healthy energy, I attracted the love of my life, Marshall Smith, and began a loving partnership of 33 years. We empowered the best in each other. Our healthy sexual selves enabled us to share the depth of ourselves with love, confidence, and sheer joy. We were blessed. Walking the path is the ultimate adventure because one is moving toward the greatest prize, the full discovery of self and the ability to live a joyful and fulfilling life that comes with a healthy sexual self. On this adventure of self-discovery, one can ask many questions and receive meaningful answers. Who are you? What is important to you? To what creative things are you drawn? What are you capable of accomplishing within the fullness of who you are? And going even deeper, why are you on earth? What have you come to do? What happens when our physical body dies? Walking the path is about finding oneself, one's purpose, and expressing these attributes in everyday activities. It's about love, being more important than ambition. It's about exploring and expanding your potential, not keeping up with others. Walking the path is about letting go of complaining and blaming, instead expressing one's goodness through the release of old negative habits and behavior. It's about living one day at a time, enjoying the beauty and the harmony of the now, rather than planning every move from a limited vision full of fears. Walking the path is about forgiving self for past mistakes, learning to love self, and finding peace with oneself by letting go of judgment and condemning self and others. It's about hope, faith, and trust rather than bitterness, cynicism, and hostility. It's about meaningful and satisfying sex on Saturday night.